Hello, Tea Crew, and welcome to a brand new episode of Tea Talk with Sha. Today, we're going to be talking about all the trending topics all over social media and the internet, and we're also going to be doing a deep dive into the legacy of hate. What actually happened with Kevin Samuels' death? You're not going to want to miss this episode. Stay tuned. All right, T-Crew, we've been away for a week, but I'm back with the remix. So let's get into these stories. So the first one, Ray J versus Kim Kardashian. So, you know, the Kardashians are back on TV. They have their show on Hulu, and they've been addressing some things that have happened probably about 5 or 6 months ago in real time. Now, this is around the time that Kim hosted SNL. And right before she hosted that event, Kanye West actually already described in his interview with Jason Lee, shout out to Hollywood Unlocked, that right before the SNL performance where she infamously kissed her now boyfriend, Pete Davidson, that he had brought her a laptop containing unreleased footage of her and Ray J, explicit footage, right? And so people were like, well, you know, they're on bad terms. They've been fighting all over the internet. But Kanye still flew to Ray J to pick up this laptop with unreleased material to protect Kim and their family from other sex tapes leaking or whatever else was on that laptop. Well, Ray J broke his silence and in an interview recently, and he basically said, you know, that they had made multiple sex tapes. They had planned to sell this tape and that Kris Jenner herself was involved and knew about the selling of the tape and everything that was going on behind the scenes. Now, the Kardashian-Jenners have not really spoken out about Ray J's claims. But because they haven't really disputed it, I feel like there may have been something going on. I mean, I think this was a well kind of known rumor around Hollywood that there was more to the story than the tape just being released. It was released by a major porn producer. And so people had already thought that they wouldn't have been able to get away with releasing this tape of, you know, a girl, a young woman who, you know, has legal ties. Her dad was a famous lawyer, and even though he had passed away, still had ties in the legal community and would have been able to stop something like that from happening. So there was always these little whispers and talks that that they had been compensated for the tape and that the release was actually planned. Ray J also further went on to say that he missed out on opportunities like Dancing with the Stars, specific reality shows, other scripted acting gigs because of his association with the tape and people thinking that he had something to do with whatever happened with the release of the tape. A lot of people thought it was him. They thought he had something to do with it and that it was his way of getting back at Kim after the breakup. Now, Ray J basically explained this away by saying, you know, the only reason why him and Kim broke up is because Kim and Khloé stole $120,000 from Brandy in a stylist scam. We've covered this before on the podcast, but I don't even have to say allegedly because it was proven in court and the Kardashians then paid her back, I believe, 5 or 6 years later, they were able to pay her back and the whole case went away. But yes, when Khloé was working as Brandy Norwood's stylist, she did use the credit card for personal use and she was sued for doing so. So Ray J said that was the incident that actually broke them up as a couple. It had absolutely nothing to do with the tape or the selling of the tape or the distribution of the tape or anything like that. So there was just a lot going on and it was really like Ray J versus them and their word. I just think that this would have been more damning if Ray J would have came out closer to when the tape was actually released. I think at this point it's kind of water under the bridge and a lot of people are just seeing it as, you know, They're both parents now. They both have kids that they'll have to eventually explain this situation to. And so it's better that, it just kind of goes away for now. But I'm glad Ray J is speaking up and saying his part and making it official to what we always kind of believed, that there was some type of deal with Vivid Entertainment, that it wasn't like stolen from them or something like a Pamela Anderson situation where her tape was stolen from their house and it was released and stuff like that. So this was more of a sales deal than anything, than more than a leak that they tried to make it out to be. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure that the Kardashian-Jenners will put out some type of statement, or that it'll play out on their new reality show. But it's crazy to me. Like, this whole thing just seems so scripted. It's like the back and forth between them and Kanye was so bad. It was like heated. It was every other day. Now that their show's been released, it's like Kanye's in Japan and he's not even thinking about them. And it's, he fought to go to Chicago's birthday party, and then Sam had a birthday party over the weekend, and I believe he was still in Japan and he didn't even attend. So it's just like, it makes me feel like all of this stuff that they were doing was definitely for their new show, promoting the show and hyping it up, because now that the show is out and the ratings are good, it's literally crickets over there. So we'll see what more comes out as people begin to speak up. All right, let's go on to the next topic. Wendy Williams was spotted out at a Met Gala after party with her date, Jason Lee, and she had some interesting words to say to TMZ, who caught up with her on her way, I think either leaving or going to the event. Now, she spoke to TMZ and she said that she's going to be back on TV in September. And they tried to get out of her, like, what show? Is it a new show? Because, as we talked about in the last few weeks, or I think months ago at this point, Sherry Shepherd was given the contract for the Sherry Shepherd show. Wendy will be officially ending in June. And then in September, the time slot will be filled with the Sherry Shepherd show. That's already, written in stone. Denmark Mercury has already confirmed that this is going to be happening. It's been announced on the show. Like, we're done, as far as that's concerned. So when Wendy said she'd be back on TV and she said she'd be back on her own show, it had a lot of people wondering. We're like, okay, because there has been claims of dementia and memory issues and things like that as it pertains to Wendy Williams lately. So a lot of people were like, those comments made them feel like maybe something is going on. Now, Sherry took to her, oh, she also said in this interview, that she probably wouldn't be okay. So, rewind. Sherry Shepherd then addressed these remarks that Wendy made, right? She got on social media, she got on live, and she's like, I don't really know what Wendy's talking about, but from my standpoint, the Sherry Shepherd show is gonna go on, and that she's just praying for Wendy. We'll get to that in a second. So then Wendy went ahead and did a video interview with Fat Joe, who was actually with Remy Ma, one of the hosts that have been filling in for Wendy. And she let him know that, she is coming back to her own show and that she won't be watching Sherry Shepherd because it's really just not her cup of tea. And so people are thinking, is it a podcast that she's talking about? Is it a filmed podcast? Is it something that she's going to be doing separate from her old production crew? Because we all know Norm, etc., the whole crew from Wendy is now going to be working for Sherry Shepherd. So we're all trying to figure out, what is she talking about when she means her own show? So I don't know. I just feel like Sherry addressing the rumors on live was completely unnecessary. We all know you have the contract. You announced it on the show. I think the bigger thing for her to have done is just to say nothing. I mean, you already have the contract. Everybody knows that your show will be starting in September, despite whatever Wendy is talking about, a podcast or a new show or a rival network, whatever's going on. Your show is already set in stone. I really don't think that she had to make a comment about that. And I don't know. I just didn't really really like to see her making a comment. It's like, we all know that you got this show because of Wendy being too ill to continue to run her own show. So for that reason alone, I feel like there probably shouldn't be any comments, but she did address her directly. So Sherry, has every right to come back and address her directly. So it is what it is, but I would hate to see this come into some type of weird like fight. I'm sure there's going to be, God willing, Wendy gets better. There's already going to be a feud there because Sherry was so willing to step into the spot. But at the same time, it's a great opportunity that most people would have said yes to. So she can't be so mad at her there. So yeah, we will see what Wendy was talking about. Hopefully more trailers and details will come forth about her new show, and we'll keep you posted. All right, so let's move into the next topic here. Despite changes in the Real Housewives of Atlanta cast, it opened to record lows last week. So last week when we were out, there were a couple stories that I talked about that you guys wanted to kind of get more information on. And this was one of the stories that you wanted to spill with me about. So let's get into it. So Real Housewives opened to numbers that are a franchise low. Now, these numbers are franchise low for Real Housewives of Atlanta, but they are much higher than their counterparts in, Beverly Hills, Ocean City, oh, was it Ocean City? Orange County. That's what I was trying to say. Orange County. I'm like, what am I saying? New York, Vanderpump Rules, all of their numbers were still better than most of the other Real Housewives franchises. But I honestly think the record lows are coming from old drama being brought up, and there's really nothing new that these ladies are able to pull and discuss because they really have been working with each other for so long. Drew's still talking about that trip to Florida. Then you have, Kenya and Marlo going at it, but that's been a feud that they've been having for almost 10 years now. So it's kind of hard even with the new cast members when old drama is discussed. So that's my opinion. I really think that the old drama is what's causing the numbers to be low because people really feel like there's nothing else that's being discussed, and they're looking to have new information be discussed. It's like, what's going on now, and what they have to do and what they have to, look into, and who's doing this and who's doing that. So hopefully the new blood will kind of mix it up a little bit more. We saw this with Candy and the gang. The ratings started off really low, and they've been picking up steadily ever since. So this will probably happen with Real Housewives of Atlanta, and as more stories come out, more headlines come out, more people will likely tune in. But a couple blogs and things people have been reporting that they'll probably get canceled because of the low ratings. I don't think so. I mean, if they would keep shows around like New York and Vanderpump Rules, like these ratings haven't been great, but they also haven't been canceling these shows. I definitely don't think they'll cancel a cash cow like Real Housewives of Atlanta. I think they would scrap the entire cast and recast it before they canceled it. But that's just my opinion. All right, let's move on to the next topic, the Strength of a Woman Fest. Now, this is a brand new festival by Mary J. Blige, and it is taking part every Mother's Day weekend in Atlanta. So, similar to Essence Fest that takes place every year in NOLA, this will take place in Atlanta, and it's going to be Mother's Day weekend. This year brought out acts like the City Girls, Summer Walker, Kiki Sheard. Everybody and their mama was basically down there. And then they also had a summit where Kim Kimble spoke, other business women got to gather together to give information, share information, just meet and network with each other. And Mary went on to talk about the fest, and she was like, "This isn't a tour. It's unlike anything I've ever done. Sometimes we'll have like Mother's Day concerts and stuff like that." But she was like, "This is something that mothers can come and enjoy. That is also a concert, but it's also like, you know, health information, summit information if you're a business owner, or, you know, people that do like self-improvement, like they're going to have all different types of educational information also available to the mothers that weekend. So I'm like, okay, this is a really nice festival. I could definitely see it growing over the years. I know Usher also pulled up on Mary. Method Man was there. It was just star-studded. There was tons of celebrities in there. A lot of people seem to be able to go and enjoy and have a good time for the weekend. So I'm glad. And I think Atlanta's like a central place for a lot of people. Like, it's not too bad getting tickets to Atlanta right now. Even they said Baltimore to Atlanta was like $800. Somebody posted that. I was like, whoa. I don't know if it was a surge or it was a last minute thing because of the festival and other events that are going down in Atlanta right now, but I was shocked by those prices. But usually you can get to Atlanta for a reasonable price. So I really think that this event will just continue to grow. I think that's so smart for her to get this trademark. She was the headliner, of course, this year, but she can also do it where, you know, she has a headliner come in and then she's just, you know, there to also perform and enhance their performance. But it's definitely going to be a moneymaker. It's going to be something that women are going to flock to. People can buy these tickets for their moms. It's not so wild that, you know, moms of an older age might want to come. I think it's just the trifecta of festivals for Mother's Day for sure. All right, so the next topic here, The Heart Part 5, Kendrick Lamar has released his music video for the new music that he has out. And in this music video, it's just basically like taking YouTube and social media by storm because he did a deep fake, which is putting someone else's face over your face in video form, but it looks so realistic, it's hard to tell a deep fake from an actual video. So he did a deep fake of Nipsey Hussle, Will Smith, Kanye, Kobe Bryant, Juicy Smollett, and OJ. And it's a commentary, you know, just about Black men and love and, you know, the love-hate relationship that the media has with Black men and that Black men have with the media. It really was a powerful video to watch, really thought-provoking. Kendrick hasn't given his specific reasoning as to what was behind the video, but it has a lot of people thinking and giving their opinions and making videos on it. Really, really thought-provoking. And I was just thinking to myself, I was like, I almost don't want him to give an explanation. You know what I mean? Because that's what makes true art. When you listen to the song, you read the lyrics, and you look at the video or do a combination of all three, and then you kind of focus in on the message that he was trying to send. I feel like that's thought-provoking. That's real art. That's what makes him one of the most talented rappers of our generation, is that he can do stuff like this and get everyone thinking, maybe even ruffle some feathers, but get everyone thinking to a point where, like, what is he trying to say with this commentary? Where is this going? What is this really trying to convey here? Especially because some of them have passed. And some of them are in hot water right now as we speak with the whole, you know, Will Smith thing getting reignited and everything. So it's really interesting. I encourage everybody to watch the video, and I'm just glad that Kendrick Lamar is back. I hope he continues to make music because this is the kind of thing that we need. Not to say, you know, we don't need a little shake it here and there, you're just dancing and people on the curb getting down, but this is a whole new level, in my opinion, of thought-provoking music that really triggers some type of reaction out of people. You know what I mean? Okay, so for the last topic, Patrice Cullors was called out by Candace Owens for missing Black Lives Matter funds. Now, Owens pulled up to Cullors' gate in front of her home while she worked on a documentary that's supposedly exposing Black Lives Matter and specifically Patrice for misuse of funds. Now, we talked about this a long time ago that Patrice was accused of misusing Black Lives Matter donations to purchase a home and other items for herself. Well, now apparently Candace Owens, you know, the famous, I guess, infamous right-wing woman has looked into these allegations, and now she's making a documentary about it. Now, Candace Owens is very, very pregnant. She pulled up to this woman's house, and I guess she was getting pictures of the house because apparently the house is what is alleged to have been purchased with the donation funds. So I guess having a picture of how big the house is and what it looks like, you know, would further basically prove her whatever she's trying to prove. And I remember when we talked about this in the past, I was like, I really hope that they get this together and they nip this in the bud and that Patrice is able to open up the books and, you know, clear her name, because I was like, if the right gets a hold of this, this is going to be a catastrophe. And that's exactly what happened. And you know, I just hate this for us. I really think that Black Lives Matter has done good, if for no other reason than to make it more visible that our lives actually do matter. And I just hate to see that people were not able to manage the funds properly and in a way that would not cause this kind of witch hunt and suspicion within the right side. I mean, they were always going to have it, but it's like, don't give them any ammo, you know? So Patrice was very upset about the invasion of her privacy. She went live to basically, you know, let people know that Candace did pull up to her home, and she felt violated that she pulled up to her home like that and started recording. I don't know where she lives specifically. I don't know if recording of somebody's property is allowed. Or if you can record from the curb or whatever the case may be. It's just sad. I really hope that even now, that, you know, people will still be able to look into her finances and see what happened, or if she can give some of the money back, or whatever needs to happen to kind of bring a close to this situation. I would prefer that than this weird documentary that Candace is putting together to gain any type of momentum, you know, mainstream momentum. I'm sure that they will, you know who I mean by they. They will watch it and consume it. But from a mainstream standpoint, I hope that Patrice gets this together. All right, everyone. This has been our trending topics for the week. Stay tuned for our sports report.
Hello, hello, hello out there, and welcome to the Sports Update with J-Rob. Today I will be covering both the NFL and the NBA. So let's get started with the NFL. The NFL recently had their 2022 draft, and I will go over the first 10 picks. The first pick in the NFL draft went to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they selected Trayvon Walker, defensive end out of Georgia. With the number two pick, the Detroit Lions selected Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end out of Michigan. With the number three pick, the Houston Texans selected Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback out of LSU. With the number four pick, the New York Jets selected Ahmad Gardner, cornerback out of Cincinnati. With the number five pick, the New York Giants selected Kayvon Thibodeau, the defensive end out of Oregon. With the number six pick, the Carolina Panthers selected Ikem Ekwonu, offensive tackle out of North Carolina State. With the number seventh pick, the New York Giants selected Evan Neal, offensive tackle out of Alabama. with the number 8th pick, the Atlanta Falcons selected Drake London, wide receiver out of USC. With the number 9 pick, the Seattle Seahawks selected Charles Cross, offensive tackle out of Mississippi State. And with the number 10th pick, the New York Jets selected Garrett Wilson, wide receiver out of Ohio State. Now let's move to NBA news. The NBA is currently in the semifinal round of the playoffs, and the Phoenix Suns and the Dallas Mavericks are tied at 2 games apiece. The Golden State Warriors are leading the Memphis Grizzlies 2-1. The Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers are tied at 2 games apiece. And the Milwaukee Bucks are leading the Boston Celtics 2-1. And this has been the Sports Update with J-Rob. Have an amazing week.
All right, T-Crew. So let's get into my favorite part of the podcast, the deep dive, where I get to shine a light on something that I've been thinking about through the week or something that I feel like could benefit from my unique perspective. Okay. And today we're going to be talking about a legacy of hate. What is going on with the death of Kevin Samuels? So for those of you that don't know or aren't familiar, Kevin Samuels is a YouTuber from the Manosphere who basically would go on live, have callers call in, and he would critique them, survey them, and give his opinions on why they have not been able to find the kind of men or man that they're looking for. Now, a little background on Kevin. Before Kevin was a YouTuber, he was a successful image consultant, and many people thought that he used his traits as an image consultant to basically break down people into what they looked like, what they earned, all the tangible values of a person, so to speak. And he would use that to judge and critique them and try to give them some information on what they needed to change or what they needed to do, or if they should lower their expectations in finding the partner that they were actually looking for. Now, as you can imagine, if you've never seen his videos, this definitely ruffled a lot of feathers. He was in particular known for denigrating and kind of downgrading, speaking down to all those things to Black women, in particular, that would call in and ask, you know, why they're not able to meet somebody, or if they've been looking for the wrong men, or what the men that they've been attracting are not the men that they're looking for. So he would routinely, like multiple times a week, have these live streams or people would call in and he would give his opinion. Now, in this time, he said very, very hurtful things. And some specific examples are, you know, women over 35 are leftovers. Women with children should not seek a high-valued man. And his definition of a high-valued man is a man that has a good salary, that, you know, drives a nice car, lives in a great zip code, that women with children should not achieve, should not aspire to be with a man like this because they don't, quote unquote, deserve a man like this. And then he also made really disgusting comments about not believing your children. If there is some type of allegation of sexual assault, he did say that you should believe your man. So, although it's very cringy, I had to give those specific examples so you can better understand why some people really don't seem to mind that he is deceased. I will say that I wanted to talk about this topic because I have never seen more people hate on a person even after they've died. I think about the example of Bishop Eddie Long. He was a bishop in the non-denominational community, but I think also Baptist, and he was, you know, he was abusing children. And even after his passing, you know, people were like, well, this man is now dead. We're not going to speak ill of the dead and stuff like that, even though he had been convicted of this terrible crime. So to see Kevin Samuels get more hate than him after death was like eye-opening. So I did have to listen to some of these disgusting videos because I really hate to see people really go into it kind of understanding that they're going to get a little bit of a bashing, but they're really there for the information. You can tell a lot of people were calling in to the show because they really wanted to find someone, because they really were tired of spinning their wheels, so to speak, on what they've been trying to meet somebody and haven't been able to meet anybody, just to get kind of broken down as a person, that they were too large, they had too many children, they didn't make enough money, or that they weren't of value enough to quote unquote pull one of these high value men. It's very hard to watch, and it's very sad to see people do that to themselves. And I think that this response of hate really goes to the point that people are still hurt and they're still processing the pain of the comments that Kevin Samuel has made, and it's going to take them a while to heal. You know, a lot of people, I listened to multiple lives about this topic, you know, Armand Wiggins talked about it, Conscious TV talked about it, and it's basically, you know, everybody had a live about it, and you heard person after person call in and talk about how his comments negatively affected them as a person. I mean, I'm a married woman and I still kind of, it hurt to hear some of the things he was saying to these women, because I've been there. You know, I've definitely been there as a single Black woman wondering why I can't find someone who would want to date someone like myself. And for him to kind of take that information and then like drive home the point, like nobody wants you, nobody wants you. It's really, really, really painful for a lot of people. And I can completely understand why a lot of people were just like, yep, good riddance. Like, I'm happy he's dead and things like that. And it was just like, all right, you know, this man has caused a lot of pain to a lot of people. But I also think that there's always an opportunity to learn from anything. And I think that what we can learn from this situation are three main things. And I jotted them down. First being protect your peace. I really feel like, you know, because something is trending or because something is popular, a lot of times we'll give it a chance, we'll give it a listen, but we really have to protect our peace as it comes to the things that we take in on YouTube or on regular TV or even on Twitter and social media, the tweets that you read, the things that you, because it is psychologically changing you to continue to read and listen to negative things, especially as Black women, because there's so many things. Kevin Samuels is not the only one. And, you know, even with his death, there are many other people that think like Kevin Samuels that post videos about topics and kind of give the same rhetoric that he did. So it's really important for us, especially as Black women, to protect our peace and not listen to that, not buy into those concepts, because I feel like when you start to buy into that or even just listening to it, even if you don't, you know, you're telling yourself you don't believe it and it's crap and whatever, just even listening to it and letting it into your psyche is harmful, because you don't want to start to intake ideas and thoughts like that because they're absolutely untrue. I know so many women that are of multiple different sizes that meet somebody that love them down, that don't have to put up with cheating, don't have to put up with sharing a man, you know, women that meet guys and they have children and the guy has kids or he doesn't have kids and they become a blended family. And some of the happiest people I literally know are in blended families. So all this stuff he was saying was complete lies. And the more you listen to stuff like that, the more you start to take it in, but it's just not the truth. The evidence is really out there among us If you look onto these family pages or any of this, you know, family content and stuff like that, a lot of these families are blended. And a lot of these men met their wives when they already had children. And it doesn't seem to affect how their life went after that. So it's pure lies and it's conjecture. And it was him using what he knew as an image consultant to make a living off of degrading people. He didn't care that it was hurting people. He made a living off of it. But for you to internalize it and continue to take it in is a choice. And you really just shouldn't do that to yourself. And that brings me to my next point. No one else's opinion of you matters. And I know it's easier said than done because with social media and people judging each other and comparing each other's experiences, and everybody's always trying to keep up with the Joneses, or you're just looking over your shoulder to see what other families are doing, what other singles are doing, what other couples are doing. No one else's opinion of you matters. And I think the sooner you can kind of take that in as a person and really, really understand and internalize that your opinion is framed by your experiences, the things you've gone through, your education, your family, your job, you know, your environment, all of that goes into, you know, your own opinion of yourself. But no one else's opinion of you matters because no one else has had to walk in your shoes. And I think that that's a really big point that a lot of people miss. People don't know you truly to who you are because they've never had to walk in your shoes. So how can they have an opinion of you if they've never fully had to deal with the things that you deal with on a daily basis, just being who you are? You know, they can never have an informed opinion. That your opinion is the only one that matters when it comes to your self-worth. You have to remember that and keep it high and add tax. Okay. Keep that self-worth high and add tax. All right. And then the third, that it's okay to let things go. I feel like on social media, I was watching a lot of people be influenced by other people and, you know, what they were going through and what they were saying and things like that. And my issue with that is if you hated him and you're glad he's gone, that's fine. You're perfectly entitled to your feelings and your opinions. But if you're going along with it because you feel like I won't be the one to let it go if other people are still riding hard against Kevin Samuels, then it's just like, it doesn't even make sense. And also, even if you did dislike him. And I mean, we're going into now what, the first week of it, maybe depending on when you listen to this podcast, the second week after this, just let it go. He's gone. Cleanse him from your thoughts, cleanse his ideas and his rhetoric from your thoughts, and don't let it keep harboring in your heart the things that you don't like about him. Because honestly, like, he has his own judgment that he has to face. You don't have to keep that on your plate anymore, you know? All right, everyone. Well, this has been my thoughts on the situation, and we have reached the end of the deep dive. Stay tuned for our outro comments. All right, T-Crew, we have reached my least favorite part of the podcast where I have to say goodbye to you. I just want to thank you all for listening and sharing the podcast, especially in the weeks that I'm not here. I have to take breaks for my own mental health and to prevent burnout, that you still listen to the podcast and you're still sharing it. And I get to be on vacation and watch you guys still listen and enjoy the podcast. It's a major blessing. So thank you so much for doing that. As always, arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor. We won't stop until she gets the justice that she rightly deserves. I will be adding new content to the subscription service this week. Thank you for your patience, subscribers. I will make sure there's a new video up this week in addition to this video. So stay tuned. Have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. And I love you for listening. Bye.